We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire.
Breaking news, Terry Rozier. He'll be the next starting point guard of the Charlotte Hornets.
Step back, wide open, and it's good! Terry Rozier!
All right, what's going on, everyone, and welcome into another BuzzBeat, your favorite Charlotte Hornets podcast. You can follow us at BuzzBeatPod on Twitter and find our episodes on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or wherever you prefer to listen to our episodes. I'd actually like to know more about what apps you guys use. I always use Apple Podcasts. I know that Brian used Spotify, and I know that Spencer, who I have on today, also uses Apple Podcasts. But if you guys use something different, you know, maybe you like the features a little bit better, let us know. Again, this is Richie, and I'll be joined by co-host Spencer today. If you want to follow us on our personal accounts, I am at Richie Randall, and Spencer is at QCH Spencer on Twitter. Spencer, how's everything going in the Percy household?
It's good. I've been on the road all week. Sometimes my job takes me on the road, so I've been started in Mississippi. Was there on Monday night, Tuesday morning. Then made my way to Tallahassee via the air and drove my way to a few different meetings. Now I'm in Tampa, so I'll end up in Miami for a wedding this weekend. So it's been it's been a lot of road time, but that's what the job calls on sometimes. So nice to break that up and talk a little most exciting time of the year, Hornets trade season.
Yes, all the hypothetical trade talks. It's not necessarily something that I like talking about, but I know a lot of listeners like to throw out some trades out there and if the Hornets are going to make a move. We actually asked on Twitter for any kind of trade-related questions or trade proposals. And if you actually thought the Hornets were going to make a move before February 6th, I think most of our listeners really didn't have questions. They're more just statements about, hey, you know, we don't think the Hornets are going to do anything. So again, the trade deadline is Thursday, February 6th at 3 p.m. Eastern. At the time of the recording, it's less than 2 weeks away. So we're going to look at some possible fake trades, look at this roster and see which players are probably the most likely to be traded, and also just share your thoughts from Twitter. So like I mentioned just now, most of you guys thought that the Hornets really would just sit this one out. Obviously, there's a couple of different directions that the Hornets can go here. They could sit it out and just let these contracts expire and start fresh and start this rebuilding process a little bit without the strings attached involved here, whether it's this summer or next summer when the cap starts to open up a little bit more. Hornets are going to have a ton of money to spend in the summer of 2021. Or they could make a trade, you know, trade one of these players like Biz or Marvin or MKG or Cody Zeller and see what you can get back. But I think sometimes when you do that and you try to get draft picks back or something like that, you're going to have to take on some lengthier salary in the process. So I think the benefit of sitting this one out, Spencer, that there are fewer strings attached, but also you don't get the opportunity to maybe add a future piece. So Spencer, I want to throw it to you. Do you agree with our listeners in saying that the Hornets will sit this deadline out? And if you had to put money or a percentage on it, what's that percentage that they actually make a trade?
I think they're going to try to make a trade. I think it's going to be close. I mean, if I had to put a percentage on it, I would say it's 55%. The Hornets will make a trade, 45% they won't. what leads me to that answer is, you know, the fact that I don't think they're going to be active in free agency summer. So I think they're going to try to use this, you know, this trade period to either under some longer term contracts and gain assets through that, which we've discussed at, you know, the point of exhaustion really since Kimba left, or use a guy like Malik Monk to, you know, the popular term is challenge trade, you know, to send him somewhere else, take on another player on a rookie contract and see if you can start to build, you know, forward with that player, or you package Monk with one of our expiring contracts. That way, you know, you're able to get something back that you can start building towards the future with. So there's a lot of different directions the Hornets can go in here. You know, I think that they have three expiring contracts in Bismack Biyombo, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist,
Marvin,
and Marvin Williams. And those all carry pretty good numbers. You know, MKG's 13, Marvin's 15, Biz is 17. So, you know, there's a lot of different variations of trades you can do with a number like that. But, you know, the question becomes, is it just, hey, here's an expiring contract, give us something back with 2 or 3 years that's going to give you some cap flexibility looking down the road and throw us an asset with that, a draft pick, whatever it might be. Or again, it's packaging a Malik Monk. You know, I think Miles Bridges, if you read the tea leaves, you can kind of see that Monk, and this has been true in the past, his name's being floated. We haven't seen like a Miles Bridges name floated, but I wouldn't count him out here either. So, you know, everyone else on this roster, I don't know where the value is. I think Cody Zeller's interesting, but there's just not that many teams out there looking for a center for what he brings you. Like, I think Boston maybe, you know, for Zeller, but I think they would make a trade there thinking about going against Joel Embiid. So anyways, I'm rambling now, so I digress. But I do think there's a good chance the Hornets make a trade here.
Yeah, I actually have it the opposite of you. I have 45%. If I had to put my money on it and I had to put a percentage out there, I would say 45% they make a move and 55% that they don't. So we're basically in the same ballpark here. But you bring up a lot of good points in the sense that, you know, this free agency class is not a great one, and I don't think the Hornets are going to be big players with that. And so maybe, you know, instead of building through free agents, especially considering the market that Charlotte is in, a lot of times when they're competing against other teams, they're going to have to overpay for some of these players to bring them to Charlotte until they establish themselves as a winner. And so a lot of times the Hornets have to build their team through the draft, which they haven't done a great job of doing in the past couple of seasons with Mitch Kupchak. I think their draft prospects have been good, or they can make a trade. But if you told me, hey, make a decision right now, are they going to make a trade or not? I lean towards no, but I'm right there on the bubble at 45%. I do think, like you said, they could make a trade on the margins, if you want to call it, and trade Malik Monk for another young piece that's out there that, you know, maybe they both need a change of scenery. And maybe we'll talk about Monk in a potential trade towards the end of this podcast. But there's been some rumors out there that Malik Monk and New York Knicks, that name and that team have always somewhat been linked. And the Knicks did pass on him, I believe, when they had the opportunity to draft him, and somehow he fell in Charlotte's lap. But that's a different conversation for a different day, the Donovan Mitchell debate there. So I'm kind of right there with you, Spencer. I think that there is a positive in making a trade, but I also think that maybe sitting this deadline out wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. So let's go ahead and get into, if you were to rank the top three Hornets to be traded, the most likely candidates, not the ones that you want to move, but just if you were to rank the top three Hornets to be moved at this deadline, who would they be? Let's just go one by one. Who do you think is the one player on this roster that, if you had to put money on it, would be the one that got moved?
I think it has to be Marvin. You know, I mean, number one, he's an expiring contract at a pretty good number, $15 million, so that's valuable. And then number two, he can actually bring something to the court that teams are going to, I think, value. I mean, he's obviously perfect for any locker room. He's a 3-and-D guy that can guard up a position, probably more so that he can guard down a position. But his physicality in the playoffs, I would think, has to carry some extra value. You know, I look at a team like Dallas right now that just lost Dwight Powell, and you know, I think Marvin Williams isn't as nuclear of a rim diver and a guy that can play around the rim and be the screen setter that Powell is, but he's a pretty good replacement on an expiring contract if
right.
if that's what Dallas is looking for. So I'd say number one would be Marvin.
I agree. That's what I had for my top Hornet to be traded. All the reasons you just stated, I think most contending teams, you know, might not make a move for a rental, but they would probably hope that, you know, Marvin could bring something on the buyout market. But I just don't think that the Hornets are going to go that direction with Marvin with the buyout. I think that if we were going to trade him or we were going to move him, it would be through a trade. You know, even at the age of 33, he would add an ability and a toughness on the defensive side. I think most playoff teams would just love the locker room presence that he has and the ability to stretch the floor. I do think his value has dropped over the course of the season. I'm not sure why, just based off the eye test. But I still think you can get a draft pick for him. I think the difficult part with Marvin and just any of these guys is just matching of the salary. So if Dallas is that team that we make the trade with, you just got to kind of have to look at their roster and see, you know, which players match up. And I swear, I thought I read somewhere that Joakim Noah was a potential candidate to replace. I thought maybe the Mavericks reached out to him to replace Dwight Powell. Did you read that too?
I think I did see something about that. I didn't read anything in depth, but I mean, the contract that matches up with Dallas is Courtney Lee.
Okay.
And and he's an expiring. They're almost identical. So I would think in that trade, like Dallas is saying, they're just going to give us, I don't know, you probably like a top 50 protected second round. I don't know if you're really going to get anything from Dallas there, because you're like, well, we're just switching expiring contracts. And Charlotte would say, yeah, but you're getting the player that can actually produce something on the floor, where we're just getting a contract. So, but yeah, it's not like I think he could help Dallas in theory, but like that's not going to be one of those sexy trades where Hornets fans get all excited about. That's just like a last second, okay, here's a player who can help you, give us whatever you're going to give us.
Yeah, it seems like Hornets would have more of the leverage in that deal, and they may be able to get a pick out of that, Williams for Lee straight up, and a pick, because I don't think that the Hornets are in a position where they have to trade Marvin. They can keep him for the rest of the season and just kind of see how that goes. All right, let's go to our number two Hornet to be moved, and I'm going to go Malik Monk. I think he is this young piece that still supposedly has some kind of intrigue out there. His three-point shot really never has developed, but the ability to playmake and the ability to attack the rim this season has been very promising. And off the top of my head, I really can't think of another player that matches his salary that's out there that's in a similar position as him in terms of just, you know, wanting that, you know, that scenery switch. But I do see how a trade for him could work. A young player for a young player. You know, you can make that happen. Rod Boone of The Athletic did predict that he would be traded this calendar year, but he did kind of throw a caveat in there. Maybe it would be over the off season during the summer. So Malik Monk is my number two Hornet to be moved. What about you?
Yeah, I have Monk here too. I mean, he's got more value just in terms of intrigue and a guy who's on a rookie contract of anybody else on this roster. And look, the Hornets have been in the rumor mill for shopping him for a few seasons now. So you kind of have to assume at this point that his name has been floated out there. I mean, sure, Ian Begley in New York didn't just come up with that out of midair. I mean, certainly somebody is floating this out there once again with Monk. So I'm sure conversations are going on. This probably wouldn't be a popular trade with Hornets fans, but I tend to be somewhat intrigued by a Frankie Smokes, Frank Ntilikina, Malik Monk swap. They were both drafted the same year. They have fairly identical contracts, but Frankie Smokes is a little bit more expensive because he was drafted higher. But I think Frank could be a better fit on Charlotte's roster with Terry Rozier and Devontae Graham. But really, take Rozier out of the equation. Think about Frank's fit with Graham, getting him off the ball more often. I kind of like that. Yeah. So, but I know that won't be popular. And I've got another really good challenge trade later that involves Monk, but I'll save that one.
Okay, yeah, save that one. But as far as Frank Ntilikina goes, I'm on the fence like you. I'm a little bit intrigued by that because of his versatility, you know, on both sides of the ball. And like you said, getting Devontae off ball a little bit more. This guy has a little bit more versatility than Monk, who is undersized and is a shooting guard, but has some point guard skills. So, you know, Monk has never really developed that shot. And to be honest with you, Spencer, I don't think he really ever will. Like, he's not showing tremendous strides from behind the arc. I will say that I love his passing, and I love the fact that he's attacking the rim. And I actually lean towards keeping him this trade deadline, unless some kind of trade, you know, intrigues me like that or blows my socks off. I don't know if that's the trade that does it. I would have to see it for it to happen. That's why I don't really like to talk about hypotheticals here. But yeah, that does intrigue me with Frank Ntilikina. So let's go to number three. I'll let you start with this one. I debated this one, but who's the third Hornet here that you think is the most likely to be moved?
Yeah, this one's tough. It comes down to three names: Cody Zeller, MKG, and Bismack Biyombo. I have to go with Biz probably, just because of the $17 million number. I mean, that's, you could take back something at the $20 million range. I tried to work something with a team like Portland, who they made a trade last week involving Kent Bazemore, getting off a few contracts. It was very clear that was step one for them getting under the tax. I do think they'll find a way to get there. But it was hard to work a trade with them because they have Dame, CJ, McCollum, Hassan Whiteside's huge expiring contract. And then after that, they don't really have anything that would match up with Charlotte that, number one, gets Portland under the tax, number two, keeps Charlotte under the tax. So you got to remember, Charlotte doesn't have that much breathing room when it comes to big contracts. So, but there's probably another deal out there where if a team is honest with themselves at the deadline, says, look, we need to get under the tax, and we just need to create more breathing room because of the things we got coming this offseason, then that $17 million number for Bismack is pretty valuable, I think, to other teams. But, but again, like I said earlier, I mean, I would put MKG last of the three, I mentioned here. But Cody Zeller, like, I do think, and I should have spent more time earlier really searching for teams, but if you look at his raw numbers and you look at his defensive impact numbers at the rim, they're good. They're above average.
Right.
They're borderlining, like, excellent. So I look at a team like Boston, like, look, I know you just want to get a center, a shot blocking center.
What, you mean Cantor's not that?
Up against Joel. Yeah, I don't think, unfortunately for them, I don't think Cantor's going to provide that for them. But, like, you've seen Clint Capella's name kind of floated for Boston. But I don't know. Zeller seems like a better offensive fit for kind of what they do. Or maybe not better than Capella, but can equal that and gives you some physicality.
Yeah.
He makes a little bit of sense for Boston.
Yeah, reunite with Kemba, man. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah.
I debated this third one too, with MKG, like you said, Biz and Zeller. I actually went Zeller here. I think Zeller is more likely to be moved than Biyombo. And I think if we're going to get off an expiring, it's going to be in the form of Marvin. But, Zeller, obviously, he has a contract this season, for the rest of this season, and next year as well. I did struggle with this one, but I just think that he offers, like you're mentioning, a better on-court product than MKG, a better on-court product than Biyombo. So a team that is looking to add a center like Boston, you can plug this guy in and he's going to play right away. And he's going to offer some things that obviously Biz would not. He's just a better player than Biz. And I think you can look at it this way too. Obviously if you were going to get Biz or if you're going to get MKG, they're both expirings. How many of these teams that are out there that are in the playoff hunt are going to want to compete with the free agents and the crop of free agents in 2020. Zeller, you have them for one more season. So if they wanted to make a playoff run this season and next season, you have a guy that can play both ways, a versatile player. I just can't see it happening, but I do think that Zeller is probably more likely to be moved than, say, MKG or Biyombo here.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's a good point. I mean, like, you think of a team like the Clippers. I think that there's some thought they need to get a little bit bigger. Of course, they got Zubac, who is their ceremonial starting center. And then, Harrell needs at least, somewhere in between 20 and 25 minutes a game, if not more. So I don't know where he would fit in. I don't know how those, is it Harkless and Zubac? But, Cody Zeller, maybe he can help the Clippers, out there in the West. So there's certainly some workable trades, I think, for him. But the question for Zeller comes down to what is his real value in the marketplace? And that's where I don't know. I assume that as Hornets fans, we overvalue Zeller. His raw numbers are always pretty positive. His advanced numbers are good, like they always are. Again, this season, he was phenomenal with Kemba in the past. So I would like to think there's value for him out there, but yeah. At $15 million, maybe there's not. So yeah. It's just hard to wrap your arms around that one.
I feel like he's a polarizing player. I know that sounds kind of weird to label Zeller as polarizing. I think even within the Hornets community, some just don't think that he's worth anything, while others maybe overvalue, you know, his ability to play defense, his ability to keep things moving on the offensive end. And clearly he's going to fall somewhere in between. But I do think that teams value him around the league. Whether or not they want to pay this guy for this season and next season to be a borderline starter center, that's another question. Now, another center that's been brought up a lot in trade rumors, I think a lot of Hornets fans keep clamoring, hey, maybe we should go after this guy. Does a trade make sense for Dwayne Dedmon? He has fallen completely out of the rotation with Sacramento here. He's making $13 million this season and next season, and then he has like a partially guaranteed contract in the 21-22 season. He's a center that has really just started shooting threes in the last handful of years when he got to the Hawks under Budenholzer originally, and then Pierce kind of unleashed it as well when he took over. He's a good rebounder, relatively good defender, little bit older, but I definitely think there's something there with him. He just is not playing the amount of minutes that he would like. But again, he's also on the downswing of his career. So if you were to be trading for this guy, obviously you would want to send out maybe a Biz or a Cody, I guess. I don't know if I would send Cody to Sacramento. That would not be fair to him. But clearly, we're kind of overloaded with the center position, even though I feel like our center position's not that great with Billy, Biz, and Cody. Cody's really the only good center on our roster. Does that make sense to make a trade for Dwayne Dedmon? And is there a trade out there that you maybe have come up with that could work? I will say that British Buzz, a listener of the show, he did come up with one. Bismack for Dedmon plus Golden State Warriors second round pick, I guess, is owed to Sacramento. That's going to be this season. And then Portland's second round pick that's owed to Sacramento in 2024. So two second round picks and Dedmon for Bismack. Does that trade make sense, or does any trade for Dedmon make sense? And how do you view him as a player?
That trade makes some sense. I think Dedmon is worth taking a swing at if you're a team like Charlotte, you know, kind of a make good opportunity. We've got the cap space. I know this contract hasn't worked out so far, but look, we're only halfway through the first season of you signing this 3-year deal. We're not that far removed from him being a pretty impactful player in Atlanta. You know, can stretch the floor, can protect the rim, you know, runs the floor real well. I think he could be a pretty good fit with Devontae Graham, a little 1-5, you know, pick and roll, a guy that doesn't only roll, but certainly can pop and make a play. And he's not a terrible passer. So there's definitely something that makes sense here, because number one, you can talk yourself into the idea of building forward with Dwayne Dedmon, trying to unlock what he showed in Atlanta. And number two, you know, you're giving Sacramento quite a bit of cap flexibility going into this summer, and they got to make a decision on Bogdanovich. And I just can't imagine that they don't want to re-sign him. I think it's just right now we can't re-sign him because of the contract we handed out to Harrison Barnes, and the contract that the Buddy Hill just got, his extension, which kicks in next year, starts at $26 million. So you give them enough breathing room where they can sign on Bogdanovich, and then a year down the road in the summer of 21, they got to make a decision on Rashawn Holmes, who's been excellent, maybe their best player in spots this season. He'll be an unrestricted free agent in the summer of 21. So you do create some breathing room for them, and I think you can get an asset on top of a player that you can kind of build forward with. So yeah, that trade makes some sense.
Another thing I like about that trade, us getting Dedmon, yes, you're taking a risk in the sense that if he doesn't turn out to be the Atlanta Hawk Dedmon, at least you're getting a second round pick from Golden State, who in all likelihood probably is going to have the first pick. And Dwayne Dedmon actually got fined $50,000 by the NBA for publicly demanding a trade. So Dwayne Dedmon definitely wants out of Sacramento, and he's just not happy enough to sit on the bench and get $13 million a year. He wants to come out and play. And I think that if he can continue his three-point shooting prowess from behind the arc, and he continues with his rebounding and his defending, I do think it makes some sense. It's just going to be interesting to see how him and Cody would be on the team next year, both of them, who would be the starter. I would assume Cody, but if Dwayne Dedmon is upset about his play time, I'm hoping that doesn't become an issue. I don't view him as that type of player, but he did publicly demand and get fined $50,000 by the NBA.
And one more quick thing on Dedmon. I mean, I love to see that out of a guy who just got paid, right?
Right.
Like he didn't just get paid. Now it's just accepting the fact that he's fallen out of a rotation. Oh, I got paid, so who cares? Now, this is a guy who still believes in his ability. That's why he's speaking out. He's frustrated. I would view that as a positive if I'm Charlotte and being like, this is a guy I want to bring in because we have an opportunity for him here. So anyways, I just want to throw that in.
All right, let's get to the favorite part of the show for you. This is not necessarily my favorite part, but I'm going to present a couple of fake trades, one by British Buzz and then one by myself, and then maybe you can throw in some of yours. Let's try to keep them fair, realistic. Obviously, the chances of these actual trades happening before the deadline, probably not going to happen, but it's fun to talk about nonetheless. So let's actually get to British Buzz's first proposed trade here. Andrew Wiggins plus Josh Okogie plus a first-round pick in the 2021 draft for two expiring contracts of Biz and Marvin. I think that the first time I ever heard any trade rumors with Wiggins, it was always surrounded with Wiggins and Batum. You know, Batum and Wiggins have very similar contracts. Wiggins just happens to go, I think, an extra season or maybe two more seasons, if I'm not mistaken. Clearly, Wiggins might have more potential, and he actually started off the season fairly strong, and you also get a good defender in Okogie. But again, is it worth it tying up your cap for a couple of extra seasons with Wiggins just to get a first-round pick and Okogie and giving away two expiring contracts? This one I kind of go back and forth on. I just don't know if I want Wiggins on this roster for that long.
I agree. I mean, like in theory, you're getting a 21 first-round draft pick. It's Minnesota. That could be a really good draft pick, depending on if it's unprotected, of course, or top four or top five, whatever. Like it could be pretty valuable. And obviously, Charlotte owns all their first-round draft picks moving forward. So you'd have really two pretty good bites of the apple that year. But like the reason I don't think Charlotte would do it is just because the, you know, this experiment they've gone through with Nick Batum and it being dead money for like 2.5 years at, you know, at over $25 million. That's I think that really has an effect on a front office. And I know Mitch Kupchak didn't sign that contract. Obviously that was Rich Cho, but he inherited that deal and he's going to have to live through multiple years of that contract for a player that really doesn't bring you anything on the floor. He's barely played at the beginning of the season. So not that Andrew Wiggins would be dead money to that extent, but he's getting paid through 22, 23, $33 million. Like I just don't think that would be assuming that Charlotte's saying we know this is going to be like a 5-year rebuild. We know we're so far down the road. We're just willing to take on this big number and stack the assets. Whereas that's not going to be Michael Jordan's approach. I'm sorry. I think he's willing to accept and admit, in a closed door room that, yeah, we're in a rebuild phase, but not that long of a rebuild phase. I mean, Andrew Wiggins' contract, regardless of the steps he's taken forward, certainly towards the beginning of this season so far this year, is not worth that number. It's got to be one of the hardest contracts, if not the hardest contract, not named Chris Paul, to trade in the entire league right now.
Yeah, and actually Wiggins this season has shown some spark as playing that de facto point guard, and so there's some positives out there as a player, and I think there's still intrigue as this guy who came in the league 4 or 5 years ago. What was he, the number one overall pick? Is that what he was?
Wiggins, yes.
Yeah.
For Wiggins was drafted first by Cleveland, right?
Yeah.
And traded.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
But to your point, you know, having that Nick Batum experience probably sours the front office a little bit. And knowing that if this doesn't work out again, you're hanging up your rebuild for two more extra seasons than Batum as he falls off the following season. I actually have a trade for you that I came up with. And I think a lot of Hornets fans are wanting draft picks coming our way. But in this trade scenario, I actually am sending out a first-round pick. But you let me know. I think this is fairly realistic in the sense that I think it's a fair trade for both teams. I'm not saying it's happening, but here it is. Hornets receive Miles Turner, and then the Pacers will receive Marvin Williams, a first-round pick, and a second-round pick, whether you want the first-round pick this year and then the second-round pick next year or vice versa. So we're giving away two draft picks, one of them being a first-round pick. And the reason I'm saying this, I think Miles Turner and Domas in Indiana. Those two are they're working well together, but I think that Domas is clearly the better player between the two of them, and he's also signed for one more season. He's going to be the Pacers' big of their future, and the fit with Turner might get a little bit tricky kind of moving forward. They also get a veteran presence in Marvin Williams, I know, just for a season, and they'll get two draft picks. So I think there's something in it for them. For us, we get a center, 23 years old, of the future, defensive-minded. He can run the pick-and-pop game. I don't know, like, Spencer, is there someone in this year's draft where, okay, let's just say we draft number five. Is there someone at five this year that you're like, yeah, this guy will definitely be better than Miles Turner? I know drafts are always a crapshoot, but this draft is down. So if there's a first-round pick that you want to give up, maybe you give it up this year, and there's not a free agent out there that you're going to want to compete with others to try to get that center of the future that's going to be anywhere the near the caliber of Turner. So, and also Pacers don't have a first round draft pick this year, so it's only a second round pick. So if they wanted a first round pick, they can get it from us. It would be a pretty high pick. So do you think that's realistic?
I like this. No, this is thinking exactly the way that Charlotte's front office should be and hopefully is thinking. I mean, Miles Turner is a young center who showed flashes, obviously, in this league. I think you said it exactly right. If you're going to trade a first-round pick this year's draft, which you never know how it's going to play out, but it looks pretty awful right now. I mean, there are certainly some players with intrigue that could slide, but I agree with you. It's not like you're taking on a $25 million center here. You know, he's owed $18 million. I mean, his contract's flat. $18 million, you get him for three more years. You have his bird rights. He's young. Indiana's in a little bit of a pickle here. They can scream all they want that we're moving forward with both these guys, but nobody believes it. All right, it's just not. At some point, they got to make a decision. There's a fork in the road here. You know, you help them out, throw them an expiring contract. I mean, Indiana has a guaranteed total next season going into next season. As of right now, at about $123 million. So they're going to be a tax team, or at least they're projected to be pretty dang close to that right now. So you give them some flexibility. And if you're going to part ways with a first-round pick, like you said, it needs to be this year. I think this is a good trade. I always get a little queasy when you're in a rebuilding phase.
Trading away picks, yeah.
Part ways with a pick. But, you know, look, as much money as you're really saving, as much flexibility as you're giving Indiana here, they might throw you back a second or just something just to kind of sweeten it and say, okay, this makes sense for us. But Indiana's going to play hard to get with Miles Turner. Mm-hmm, they just are. They're going to want something back that they can build, move forward with and build with. And they'll probably give you the, we want a real player. We don't want the idea of a player, you know?
Yeah. And we always talk about that. The idea of a draft pick is sometimes worth more. And Brian always says this, until you draft, it's almost like a car. Like it's worth the most on the car lot. But once when you drive it off the lot, it loses some value. So a first round draft pick, it seems like a great idea. But once when you kind of draft that player, that's when it starts to go down. So I feel like this first round draft pick that we could, you know, use. Obviously, the draft itself is not that great, but I still feel like a team might be tempted to go after a first-round draft pick this year, especially the Pacers, who don't even have a first-round pick. So
that's a good point. All right, so this is my, what is this, my favorite hypothetical? Is that what we're doing? All right, well, this one isn't that complex. I mean, I really like the complexity of yours and how you're thinking about it. I'm going to go, well, I've got two.
Okay.
I've got two, and I locked, so I'm going to do them both. I'll go through the first one quick. Malik Monk to Denver for Malik Beasley. And the reason I like this is because Malik Beasley, a guy that Denver is, I think, screaming to the league right now that we're not going to re-sign. He'll be a restricted free agent this summer. I think that if you're Charlotte and you say, you know, obviously you're going to want something back. You're going to give them a little bit of financial flexibility because Monk's not a restricted free agent until a summer from now. So you want to pick back. Would they part ways with their first round pick? Probably not. But look into their chessboard, see what assets they have moving forward. Maybe they'll give you a protected first round pick in 22, 20, whatever it is. So they kind of push back that decision of re-signing a guy on a rookie contract for 1 year. And they are in, they got a financial crunch coming up. And then we get a guy who we could, you know, we could spend our cap space on this summer and actually give him a role in the second half of the season where we can figure out, is this a guy that fits in our system or not? But that's also a value proposition for Charlotte. How much value do they put Malik Monk? Are you going to take a guy in Beasley who you're not real sure exactly what it is or what he is and give up on a guy like Monk, who in a vacuum, in theory, is the same kind of player? So just it pushes the decision back a season for Denver. Charlotte can get an asset on top of Beasley. And I just kind of believe in Malik Beasley. Like, I think he'd be a good player in this league. And I think he's worthy of Charlotte maybe spending some of that cap space this summer to get a guy on a decent value contract. But, you know, we have Terry Rozier. We have Devontae Graham. We're a little crowded at that position. So it gets tricky. So that's my first one. My second one is Marvin Williams and Malik Monk to San Antonio for Rudy Gay and then Lonnie Walker. So it's really a Monk-Lonnie Walker swap, okay, or rookie contract, okay? But obviously Lonnie Walker has a few more years left on his rookie contract than Monk. And then Rudy Gay has at least one season left on his deal, if not two. I looked this up earlier. But anyways, you throw them an expiring contract that gives them some financial flexibility, which I think they need. No assets needed here. We're just going to do a Monk for Walker swap. We'll take on some extra years of Rudy Gay and give you Marvin Williams and give you some financial flexibility going into this summer. So that's my favorite one because I'm a Lonnie Walker believer.
Yeah.
And I think this is how you could leverage Malik Monk into getting a player that's even a little bit younger. You keep your payroll cheap and it's somebody you can build forward with into the future. So
you like that one better than the first one you suggested.
Yeah, I think. I mean, I've been locked into Beasley for a while. Like, how can Charlotte figure out a way to get him? But the argument would be like, well, why would they trade for him now when they could just sign him this summer? Well, use a guy like Monk to bring in an extra asset. The trade's only worth it if they can get, you know, Denver to part ways with a protected first rounder moving forward, which they probably can't. So that's a pie in the sky idea. But I do like this Marvin plus Monk for Rudy Gay and Lonnie Walker, because I think Lonnie's the kind of guy you'd want to plug into what Charlotte's trying to do right now.
Right.
Versatile backcourt player, explosive athlete, can shoot it. Can handle it, has showed some playmaking chops like in spots. But San Antonio just, like, they don't have a clearly defined role for him right now with Derek White and DeJounte Murray. Like, they're kind of crowded there. So if I was Charlotte, I'd be trying to figure out a way to pry him out of San Antonio.
Yeah, I like both of those trades. I feel like I like the Malik Beasley one more. I like trades that have less strings attached, meaning less future salary. So the one straight up Malik Beasley for Monk, obviously there's not as much long-term salary there. You know, you got Beasley who can shoot the ball from behind the arc. And I feel like he's a fairly good defender, if I'm not mistaken. It seems like you're willing to get rid of Monk probably quicker than maybe I am. And I think that we both ranked him high up, and I think we both said first overall in terms of getting him moved.
Yeah, I mean, look, Malik Monk's like made a big jump this year,
right?
And I mean, I applaud him and his development along with everybody else. I mean, his playmaking he's shown has really been a bright spot. He's still not shooting the ball like we know he can. We saw it in college. This is year three of that now, and yes, he's made strides as a defender, but his ceiling on that end just isn't very high. So my thing with Malik Monk is I just don't think his ceiling is all that high for an NBA player. I think he can come off the bench, give you some points, give you some playmaking, but like Charlotte should be shopping him and the idea of him for a future starter. And like, I think Frank Ntilikina could be a future starter in this league. I think Lonnie Walker can absolutely be a future starter in this league. I don't think Malik Monk is. I just don't think his ceiling's that high. I've seen enough of a sample. And when I add everything up for both ends of the floor, I'm just like, yeah, this development's nice, but he's still not shooting the ball well at all,
right?
And hasn't in his entire career. And he's not going to be a plus on the defensive end. So like, I just think that's where as a fan base, we kind of overvalue what his ceiling is. So I'm trying to look at it realistically, but I do think that there's a team out there that if they could gain some financial flexibility along with getting a player like Monk into their system, that would be attractive to them. And that's what we were talking about earlier, packaging him with one of our expirings. And so that's why I like this Marvin Monk, Rudy Gay, Lonnie Walker. And while we're on it, I just pulled up the the Spurs spreadsheet. So Rudy Gay's owed about $14.5 million next year. So you save them that, which is big because they've got, well, they got quite a few cap holds this summer to deal with. Guaranteed total or inclusive total about $123 million. So you really give them some pretty significant flexibility there. And all you're asking them to do is part ways with Lonnie Walker, who they don't have room for with Derek White and DeJounte Murray in the backcourt anyways.
Yeah, that's a good point about Monk in the sense that if you do make a challenge trade, as you call it, it's just a straight up young player for young player, that might not be the way to go. If you can somehow leverage Monk in attaching him to a Marvin Williams or attaching him to a Biz and giving a team flexibility and you know down the road, you know maybe we can get back someone of the caliber that's a little bit higher than Malik Monk. But to be honest with you, I still like that Monk and Beasley trade. I think maybe I value Beasley a little bit more overall, just an overall player better than Monk. But, you know, who knows? Who knows? Any last thoughts, Spencer? Anything that you, any predictions, anything about the Hornets as they approach this deadline?
Yeah, I'll just throw a few more fun ones out here that I worked up earlier. Yeah. Real quick, we'll zoom through them. This one's somewhat intriguing. I came up with this one just before we jumped on. Malik Monk and MKG's $13 million expiring for Gary Harris, who's had a disappointing season in Denver. You know, you take a guy in. Now, he's on a long-term deal. He got extended by Denver off his rookie contract, so I don't have it pulled up, but I think it's like 14, 15, 16 is what he's going to make in the next few years. So, you know, just kind of a make-good opportunity for Gary Harris. You get a guy into your system. Denver gets way cheaper with Malik Monk. So I think that one's fun. I think that, you know, if you want to think on more, you know, general, simple terms, Marvin for Courtney Lee, from Dallas,
right,
for that Golden State second rounder. We already mentioned that one. Sorry.
No, you're good.
And then the last one I had here is, and we kind of talked about this variation a second ago, but just Marvin for Rudy Gay, save San Antonio, that $14.5 million, and maybe see if they'll give you their first round pick if they don't think this draft's going to be good either, you know? So those are just some ones I kind of worked up earlier. But in terms of the draft, I'm intrigued with Anthony Edwards over everybody else right now that I'm watching. I still need to watch the Europeans more closely, but I don't know, man. Anthony Edwards, there's some questions about his motor, it's a question about his basketball IQ, but he started playing very late in his life. I don't think he started playing basketball like seriously until he was like 15 or 16 years old. He was always a football player before that. Like when that guy just when he just makes up his mind, he's going to the cup, or, you know, he puts you in that blender and he gets to his pull up, he makes the game look so easy. Like all the advanced stats don't like him.
Right.
Really just his raw stats in a vacuum aren't great. You watch him play and you're like, man, where's his motor? Like, why is he floating out there on both ends from time to time? But when he makes his mind up, there's no question he is the best prospect in this draft. And man, do I hope that Charlotte finds their way to like 4 or 5 and he slides, because I just believe in his potential. And I think he's going to get it. I think there is something to him. There's something to the idea that he didn't start playing basketball later in life, because he's a good kid. He's high character. You hear that about him, but it's just like, how do we unlock this dog in Anthony Edwards? And I think that's going to be the key. So I don't know, man. If we could find a way to land that kid, then I would tell you that this is not going to be a weak draft for Charlotte.
Yeah, I think it feels like, you know, just based off of some of the things I've seen on Twitter and online, obviously I'm not watching Georgia basketball, and I probably won't until closer to you know, February and March. But it feels like a lot of people are down on him. And I feel like if people are down on Edwards, who seems to be coming into this season the top prospect, and they're already down on this draft, and I understand, you know, just looking at this guy, he just looks like an NBA player. He's that type of guy that steps off the bus, and you know that he can be on an NBA court one day. But that's why I threw out that trade about getting rid of that first-round draft pick and picking up Miles Turner. I think there's some players out there like a Miles Turner that you could maybe pick up, a youngish player that may not fit right now with their team, or maybe in the future there's going to be some kind of difficulties with that. So that's kind of why I threw out that trade. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world to trade away a first-round draft pick in this year's draft. Again, I'm not an aficionado with the draft, but thanks again, guys, for tuning in to another Buzz Beat. Again, the Hornets will be playing, as you're listening to this, probably today at 3 p.m. in France. Then they'll have several days off before they play the Knicks back in Charlotte on the 28th.
And real quick, Richie, you're absolutely aficionado with the draft. I mean, you were the first one to lay eyes on Shake Milton.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, I was laying in my hotel room last night and watched him nail three triples. And it was like, Richie was the first one to see this guy of anybody.
Yeah.
So don't sell yourself short. Yeah, no, you know how to find talent.
I try to find diamonds in the rough and people with awesome names. So that guy from Dayton, what's his name? Toppin. Yeah, that's my guy.
Hey,
yeah.
That guy's going to be a lottery pick, man. He can really play. Versatile, big, runs the floor like a deer. I love his game.
Yeah. Well, as always, guys, we appreciate you guys for listening. Give us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcast. For Spencer, I am Richie, and we will see you guys next time. Go Hornets.